The show is live and local. It's your connection to local music and more. We've got a little of music and a little discussion, anyway, of poetry, specifically in the person of Carl Sandburg. There's a program tonight on the University of Illinois campus called Prayers for the People, Carl Sandburg's Poetry and Songs. It's a musical performance and poetry recital, and we'll have some of the music on today's show. Along with Kate Benzel, who is from University of Nebraska, and she's the organizer of this event. We'll be hearing a bit about Carl Sandburg in the first half hour, and then I'll be talking with not Carl Sandburg, but Carl Schimmel, who is professor of composition at Illinois State University, and he is organizer for this year's Red Note New Music Festival, which starts tonight at the Illinois State University with four concerts, which we'll give brief samples of on today's show. I hope you'll stay with us.
Will they wake you in the morning? You hear that dinner bell ring? Set you at a table. You see the same old thing. There ain't no meat up on that table. Ain't no bread up in the pan. If you say anything about it, are you in trouble with a man? So let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a loving light on me. Now if you ever in Dallas, you better all right. I said you better not gamble, son. Oh, you better not fight. 'Cause T. Bentley will arrest you, and then they'll take you down. Old Judge Nelson, he'll convict your son, and then you jailhouse bound. So let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a loving light on me. Comes Miss Cloudy. She got a paper in her hand. She come to see that woman. She wanna get her man. The warden say, well, Miss Cloudy, well, do you know there just ain't no way? 'Cause that midnight special done hauled your man away. So let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a loving light on me.
Well, that's a song I recognize. It was played here by a group called the Sand Tones. It's partly a pickup group. Exactly right. And it's named for Carl Sandburg. And they're going to be playing tonight at 7:30 at Smith Music Hall on the University of Illinois campus, a program called Prayers for the People, Carl Sandburg's Poetry and Songs. And that is a concoction of Kate Benzel, who is professor of English at University of Illinois, University of Nebraska in Kearney. Well, of course, something that it doesn't look like at all. This program has been given various times, I don't know how often, filmed by Nebraska Educational Television, won a 2010 Emmy for Entertainment Special Program from the Heartland Region, the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences. Not bad. Kate Benzel is with us on the show, along with the Sandtones, who are a vocalist and guitarist Mike Adams, bass player, and backup vocalist in that song, Terry Sinard?
Sinard.
Well, at least I know these next two people, because they were on the show just last week for a very different program. Robin Kierten is on the violin, and Chris Raymond on accordion. Thanks, everybody, for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
So I know, Kate, you just spent some time with David Inge on our program on companion station AM 580 on Focus. And I'll direct people there for probably a little more information than we'll get out of you in this time, since they didn't have the live music, but we've got that here. So anyway, thanks for coming in. And why don't you give us an idea of where this idea came from, this project came from, and then a little background to maybe Kate Sinard's, Carl Sandburg's musical affiliations, which I didn't know much about.
I think a lot of people aren't familiar with the American Songbag that he published in 1927, a collection of 280 or so folk songs, that some of which he was the first person to actually write the lyrics down. The program itself kind of evolves out of my interest in the Songbag, but also in other of Sandburg's poetry that isn't often recognized, or it's certainly not anthologized. So one of the things that we do, I like the word that you use, concoction, in terms of talking about this group, because that's to some extent what the program itself is like. When we perform it, we kind of tailor it to whatever geographical area, whatever poets, and this evening Janice Harrington and Kevin Stein will join us as poets and readers. But we collaborate with people in the community to put together a program that's not just, you know, something that we breeze in and perform and then leave, but that it becomes part of the community. That's exactly what Sandburg did with his lecture recitals. He would read poetry. He would play music. He said he played the music because no one could sit and listen to poetry for an hour.
I'll go along with that.
In fact, he kind of incorporated that. He would play solo on initially a guitar that he bought for $25. I'm not sure how it sounded, but he kept those songs alive during those performances.
Well, if he got a really great deal, that could sound really good, you know. Yeah. And $25 back then was quite a different sum, yeah, I guess. Exactly. Am I remembering right that Carl Sandburg was from Illinois, or
yes,
at least lived in Illinois?
Right. He was born in Galesburg in 1878. His father worked on the B&O Railroad. He was a blacksmith. The family really was sort of in poverty conditions. Sandburg left school when he was 13 to help the family out financially.
And do you have poetic aspirations yourself?
Myself?
Yeah.
Not that I'm going to tell anybody.
Will you be among the readers at this event?
No, actually, I just give a brief introduction, some of the background that you've already asked about, so the audience knows the context. When we first started the program in 2007, Mike Adams and Charles Peake, who is the MC and a reader tonight as well, and I kind of they performed, and I kind of tagged along. I'm not a stage performer, so I kind of bow out to those people that know how to handle themselves under the lights.
You already sound nervous just even thinking about
the
possibility.
You're exactly right. No, I'm not.
Of performing on stage. When did Sandburg decide to put together the song bag? And how big a collection is this?
It's about 280 songs. And actually, it was edited down. He had nearly 400 songs that he presented to the publisher, and they said, nah, that's going to be way too long. So he had to cut back to about 280 songs. But he started collecting songs in the 1890s when he was young. One of the things I discovered in my work at the Rare Book and Manuscript Library is opening some folders that were labeled song bag. There were crumpled papers, little note papers, and I could. They had lyrics on them, and they had his own kind of shorthand for noting, you know, the melody or score. And I only envisioned that he was wherever, made these notes and stuffed them in his pockets. So it was a project that he began informally a long time before it was published in 1927. But his motivation for it is similar to the motivation in his poetry. He says in the beginning that these are songs of the people and for the people. And he felt that there was a need, really, to make it accessible, you know, a publication or the lyrics in it accessible to everyone and not just, you know, found in academic libraries.
When I got notice about this event, I misread or misassumed from the title, Prayers for the People, Carl Sandburg's Poetry and Songs, that Sandburg wrote songs himself, or did he?
I think that let me back up here. His manner of presentation, he has this deep baritone voice, and he has a kind of phrasing and emphasis that is particularly unique to him. So I would say even though he may not have wrote folk songs, his performance of his poetry has that kind of quality that is musical.
Any chance that he took any of his own poems or created poems for tunes, traditional tunes that you know of?
I don't know about that. I know that over the years, in the last 20 years, that there have been several musicians who have taken his poems and put them to music. So there are others, but I don't have any, you know, recollection of his doing it himself.
Because I would think it would be difficult for a poet to resist doing something like that.
Well, you know, he was a performer. I mean, he had a strong presence on the stage.
Well, we've got four performers with us. Why don't we hear another selection from, I presume these songs will all show up on tonight's program?
Yeah, they probably will. Yes, you're right. In a word.
In short, that's Mike Adams, leader of the Sand Tones.
Leader.
And so, Mike, you and Terry are the staples of this group?
Correct.
And Terry then you and pick up whoever you need in what community you go to?
Right. We try to, like as Kate said, try to incorporate local musicians into the show. So that's why Robin and Chris are here.
And how did you find Robin and Chris?
Think that referred to Kate on that one because she does all the legwork. She's the de facto producer of this thing. And,
so do you just put out feelers to whoever you're wherever you're going and say who can you connect me to?
We contacted some of the people in the music department, and once the people heard that we were sort of looking for somebody, names came up, and Robin was wonderful. You know, I emailed, out of the blue, would you, could you?
Like, and she's going to say no.
Yeah, right. And so she was, very encouraging about the program. And she also helped us locate Chris as well, which is, I'm really excited about this. I haven't actually heard them rehearse, but having an accordion in this performance is going to be absolutely delightful, I think.
Well, I hope so.
Well, let's find out. So so what's that next song going to be there, Mike?
I think we'll do this actually a song that probably I just read recently has some basis in reality. It's not just a fabricated song, but it's about John Henry. And, of course, there's verses upon verses, so we will do this abbreviated.
John Henry, he was a baby. picked up a hammer and a little piece of steel. He said, this hammer gonna be the death of me. This hammer gonna be the death of me. And now the captain would say to John Henry, I'm gonna bring me a steamer down. Gonna bring me a steam drill hat on. That job is gonna walk that steed on down. Walk that steed on down.
The Sand Tones on Live and Local on FM 90.9. John Henry, that famous song. And as you said, how many more verses have you got there? You could have gone on and done.
You can look at several versions of this song. There's several verses. And so I think in the song bag, it's probably 10 or 15 verses.
Yeah, and I'll bet there's different ones floating around other than than those even. Mm-hmm. Mike Adams, vocalist and guitar, Terry Sinnard, bass, and Chris Raymond. Now, Terry and Mike are the core, I guess, and then the local musicians as they travel around with this program. They picked up here in Champaign, Urbana, Robin Kirtan on fiddle and Chris Raymond on the accordion. And Kate Benzel is Mike called her the de facto producer of this program. It's called Prayers for the People, Carl Sandburg's Poetry and Songs. It's actually free tonight at 7:30 at Smith Music Hall on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana. I think I just forgot the question I was going to ask you there, Kate. I guess I'll have to move on to dream up another one because I really did forget about it. Mike, what's your background leading you into this whole business?
I was working, well, first I've been a musician for forever and ever, and then, but how I came across the song bag was I was working with a storytelling festival in southwestern Nebraska called Buffalo Commons. The judge, Judge Cloyd Clark, who was the organizer behind that, actually gave me this, gave me a copy of the song bag. Oh, when I moved from this southwest Nebraska, he gave me a, he said, "This is something I think you might be interested in." So I, when I first got it, I just kind of looked at it and glanced through it, but didn't pay much attention to it. And then somewhere along the line, I sat down and started looking at it and realized, oh, yeah, here's all of these songs that we've, because I became interested in roots music and where are all these songs, because the root, everything comes from something else, and realized that Sandberg was the first guy to document a lot of these songs. For example, probably the one that I use a lot is, there's a song in the song bag called The John B. Sales. Well, the Beach Boys recorded that in 1965 in California and called it the Sloop John B., and now everybody thinks that that's a Beach Boys song, but in reality, Carl Sandburg was the very first person to ever document that song. It's about a 250-year-old Jamaican folk melody. The lyrics that the Beach Boys used are identical to the ones that are in the song bag.
So the importance of the song bag isn't at this point so much that there's stuff in there that nobody has done. It's that there's stuff in there that nobody had done before.
Correct.
At the point that it came out.
Correct. He was the first guy to set them, to set the songs down, to collect them in a central place. Because previous to this, they'd been just been musician to musician, as Kate said, scratched on a piece of notepad and so on and so forth. Now, a few years later, the guys that get a lot of credit for this type of collection are the Lomaxes, John and Alan. They were in the 30s, they became the first guys to go out with very primitive recording equipment and drive around the country and record the stuff. So they kind of get the credit for a lot of these same songs, but it was actually Sandberg that started documenting them before the Lomaxes.
So in the case of Sandberg, it's the written document, or in the Lomaxes,
correct,
it's the oral document, so you can get an idea of some of the traditional way of performing these,
correct,
songs, which you can't get off a printed page.
That's,
yeah,
exactly,
I think,
right.
If you, that it is a written document. That song, the J.B. Sales or John B. Sales, he was actually the first person to write those lyrics down. That, you know, there was a lot of attention given to American folk culture before that, but it was kind of located in closed doors in academic settings. And so that's the marvelous thing about the song bag is Sandberg actually opens it up for everyone. So those songs, some of those songs, you know, are stuffed away in libraries and such, but Sandberg kind of made them available to the general population.
Well, another nice thing about it is the great name, the American Song Bag. I initially wrote it down wrong when I was recording the promo for this thing. It said the song book, and I wrote, that's not, there is an American song book, but the song bag, I like the way you said, he opened it up, and you can just sort of reach in there,
mm-hmm,
and Mary Poppins, dig out as much there as you want, you know. The question I was going to ask you earlier, Kate, you said it was such a, going to be a nice treat to hear an accordion in this group. What would be, neither of you can answer this, what would have been kind of a typical group that Sandberg might have taken around with him?
He probably would have had a fiddler. He might have had a bass player. I don't think he would have had an accordion. But he might have had someone on banjo or mandolin or something of that sort. We've one of the programs that we did, we had a brass quartet play with
us.
Oh,
really? I'll bet you he wouldn't have done that.
No, I don't think, no.
But then he could have had a brass band, I suppose. You know,
well,
you know.
And to clarify things, Carl... I'm glad he was successful as a poet, because I don't think he would have really made it as a musician. Because if you listen, there's actually recordings of...
Did the Lomaxes record him?
No, I don't know who. That's a good question. I don't think they did, but there are recordings of Sandberg doing these songs, and he was a very primitive guitar player.
I think he knew three chords.
And yeah.
That'll cover it a lot of the time.
Well, yeah. A lot of country guys have made a living out of that.
Yeah, Terry's sitting over thinking, that's all I know.
Well, that's all I know.
Three chords and the truth, position, you know, George Jones. But anyway, he was a very primitive player. So for him to have successfully interacted with other musicians probably would have been but have been charitable at best. So I think he probably just, it was a thing that, because he won Pulitzer Prizes, so he was very well known in his day and his time as a poet. So it was a kind of a little frosting on the cake. At the end of the performance, he'd whip out a guitar and do a few songs. And it was to get the ladies, I know. So it was about...
Did he succeed? That's the real question.
Yeah. Well, they seemed to enjoy it. They think,
okay.
Well, that's a great
question. That's another question probably entirely. Well, we have time for a song, and I think I might do the traditional thing and stick my leg out of here at some point when we have to move on to our next segment, which is about totally different music altogether, although it won't sound like it when we have our transition music, but I'll explain that later. We'll be talking about the Red Note New Music Festival at Illinois State University that starts tonight. What do we want to do next?
I think we'll do, this is another song from the song bag, again, Carl going, no, this is really what this is. Most folks now know it as St. James Infirmary, but in the song bag, he called it Gambler's Blues.
The Sandtones, you can hear them tonight at 7:30, along with Kevin Stein, Janice Harrington, and Charles Peake, reading some of Carl Sandburg's poetry, Kate Benzel, the organizer, and presenting an introduction, and it's called Prayers for the People, Carl Sandburg's Poetry and Songs, 7:30, a free program at Smith Music Hall on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana tonight. Thank you all very much for coming in. Sounds like it's going to be a great show. Today's broadcast on FM 90.9 is made possible by the Metropolitan Opera continuing its series of live opera in high definition at neighborhood theaters. On Saturday, March 19th, the Met in HD presents Donizetti's Lucia di Lammermoor. For more information, visit metopera.org. It's live and local on FM 90.9. We just heard a piece by Joseph Lamb called A Ragtime Nightingale, played here by Virginia Eskin on Live and Local. And that's actually one of the pieces, believe it or not, going to be played as part of a new music festival, the Red Note New Music Festival at Illinois State University, which opens today. And that's going to be on the final program, Concert 4, featuring pianist David Furtzeig. He's going to be playing that on the program, which is called Simultaneous Worlds. And he mixes up some of these. That's the second concert. His concert is called Simultaneous Worlds 2. And he mixes up older music with newer music and some of his own compositions. But we'll hear more about that in a little bit. My guest for this portion of the show is Carl Schimmel, who is a professor of composition at Illinois State. And pleased to have you on the phone, and thanks for letting me know about this festival.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Are you one of the organizers? Is that why I heard from you about it?
Yeah, I'm the director of the festival this year. I'm in my second year here. Previously, Dr. Horst, Martha Horst, was the organizer of the festival, and I guess it's been passed on to me this year.
Does that go to junior faculty, or?
it turned out to be the case this time around, but I'm excited to be the organizer. It's been a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun, too.
Sure. Well, that's how these things come out, isn't it? What does the Red Note part mean of the name, Red Note New Music Festival?
Well, this is the first year we're using that name. In years past, it was just called the ISU New Music Festival, but we thought it would be nice to have a special name for the festival, and so we brainstormed for a while at the beginning of the year and came up with this name. It references our school color, red, and our mascot, the red bird, but it also refers to sort of medieval and Renaissance notation, where red notes were associated with kind of a special way of playing. So in a way, it indicates special notes or special music. So we thought that was kind of appropriate.
I didn't know that about red notes in older music. So I just learned something in this conversation.
We won't be featuring any medieval music this.
No, I noticed that.
Festival.
I noticed that.
So in a way, it's kind of the opposite of what we're doing, but we liked the kind of the concept of colorful notes, and it matched with our school colors.
Sure. Did you then have a hand in inviting the various guest artists? You've got three featured artists on the programs.
Yes. David Furtzeig, who you mentioned a moment ago, used to teach at Illinois State. He's now a professor at University of Vermont, and so we were familiar with his work as both a performer and composer. So he immediately came to mind. The other group that we're featuring this week is Due East. They're a flute and percussion duo. I've worked with them in the past, so that's how I thought of them. Greg Beyer, the percussionist, teaches at Northern Illinois, so he's somewhat local. His wife, who is the other part of the duo, Erin Lesser, is a flutist who performs mostly in New York City with a few other groups. They do a lot of flying back and forth.
Yeah, apparently.
But so that's how I got in touch with all the featured artists, both Due East and David Furtzeig.
And then Peiying Yuan?
Peiying will not be in attendance at the festival, but she is the winner of our composition competition that we held. That is also something new for this year, although I hope that we will continue to have the competition in the years ahead. We had 249 entries from all around the world, and so we're very pleased that we had such great turnout and so many excellent entries. Of course, her piece is an outstanding work, so we're excited to feature that first tonight on tonight's program, which is mostly featuring funny music, but will also include her piece, which is not especially funny, but Tonight's concert is a mixed chamber works concert, so that was kind of the best fit for her piece.
Is there otherwise an overarching theme to this year's festival?
Not so much, except that each of the concerts features music which is kind of blending different styles or different traditions, I suppose. And in that way, I suppose the overarching theme would be something like simultaneous worlds, which you've mentioned already. You know, the music tonight blends both serious and humorous, or blends kind of a classical tradition with lighthearted play. The music on tomorrow night's program featured, which features Due East, the flute percussion duo, blends sort of traditions from other countries. So, for example, there's some Brazilian influences in a few of the pieces, with a more contemporary art music in the European style. The Wednesday night concert is really a film screening. We have a series of films which blend video and film with, in some cases, dance choreography, and also, of course, music. There's mostly electroacoustic music, which is like, for your listeners who are familiar with, you know, electronic music in the art style. It's kind of evolved from there. It's no longer kind of the bleep bloop of the 1960s, but it's music which is constructed using the computer. A lot of the pieces featured on the film concert on Wednesday night are like that. And then there's the Thursday night concert, which is a blend of stride piano, ragtime, and jazz, and also some more classical works like those of Messiaen and Bartok.
Yeah, it's a nicely varied program, I'm sure, for many people who might think, well, new music, ooh, it's going to be something I can't listen to. Seems like it's nicely mixed up with things that might make it easy for a novice listener to get into everything.
Yeah, the concert tonight, the Monday night concert, which is mostly funny music, features music from a variety of styles, I suppose. The oldest piece on that program is from 1951, so it's still newer than a lot of the music that classical music listeners hear. But because a lot of the music on that concert is funny, I think most people will find it very accessible. And then the Thursday night concert is the other one that I think has quite a blend of styles and influences. He'll be playing some very new music. There's a piece on there from 2008. But he's also included works like the one we just heard by Joseph Lamb, and like I said, music by Messiaen, Bartok, and even J.S. Bach.
Well, the program tonight, and all of these, by the way, these four concerts start at 8 o'clock. They're all at Kemp Recital Hall at Illinois State University. And I'm talking with Carl Schimmel, who's a professor of music there, composition, and one of the organizers of the festival, chair of the festival. The concert tonight, Funny Music, has some really overtly comical pieces, like William Bolcom's Lime Jello Marshmallow Cottage Cheese Surprise, which is actually a vocal piece. I assume it's always done this way. I saw a YouTube clip of it where it's actually all spoken.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You can just imagine from the title what it might sound like, and we'll leave it at that. But there's also this piece which rounds out the program, a piece called Opus Zoo, although I know it as Opus Number Zoo, not that it's terribly different, by Luciano Berio, who is generally thought of as, I would think of as a more overtly modern-sounding composer than this. And this involves some speaking by the Wind Quintet members. Do you have a favorite movement out of these? I thought we'd just pick one.
Oh, it's tough to say. Any of them are fun, but there's one with the gray mouse has a lot of squeaking sounds.
Well, let's have the gray mouse. It's very short. The whole piece is only about 7 minutes. This performance is given by the ensemble Wien Berlin, the Vienna Berlin ensemble, and I find it a little funny just because the English has this nice German accent to it. So here's music by Berio from his Opus Zoo, or Opus Number Zoo, on Live and Local.
Very old, very old. She felt no cheer at the dawn of the new year. New year, new year.
Friends,
she said.
Young friends, she said. Dance, my young friends, dance. But do beware, I warn you.
I warn you.
For I too have danced and sung like you. I too have been young, so young, so young. But alas, alas. Psst, psst, time can't be joined in the dancing. Time can't be joined in the fun.
The Gray Mouse, short piece from Opus Zoo by Luciano Berio, the Vienna Berlin Ensemble here, the Woodwind Quintet, on Live and Local. That's the last piece that's going to be played on tonight's funny music program at the Red Note New Music Festival at Illinois State University in Normal. Performance is at 8 o'clock at in Kemp Recital Hall on campus. The program tomorrow is the first of the two simultaneous worlds programs, and this is the one that features the Due East flute and percussion duo, and includes some music by my guest on this portion of Live and Local, who is Carl Schimmel, your piece called Temper Mutations. And I noticed in your notes to the program that you make some reference to writing deranged music as a habit.
Yeah, actually, my... Well, it's kind of a joke, but I do have an interest in, well, a couple things that are tied into that concept. One is my interest in humorous music, which is why I chose to have a concert of funny music on the festival. And there is some humor in this piece, Temper Mutations. And I also have an interest in exploring extreme kind of ways of depicting or evoking certain emotions in my music, and in that sense my music has some things in common with the expressionists of the early part of the 20th century, so composers like Alban Berg or Arnold Schoenberg. So yeah, I think that there's a lot of craziness in my music.
And I noticed that many of the movements here, and there are 10 of them, are marked to be played as fast as possible.
Yeah, that ties into the idea of the extreme. I often aim for a tempo that's faster than is possible. So I've, in the last few years, just started using that tempo indication to
and
let the performers know that it's okay if they don't reach this kind of impossible tempo marking. But as long as they kind of aim for it, that's the idea.
And you have a general reason for liking to play, to really push the limits on the tempo of ability,
yeah,
of players?
It just, it gives a sort of manic drive to a performance, I think, when they're really pushing themselves. I don't think that I'm not in the group of composers that are sometimes termed new complexity composers, which... for your listeners who haven't heard that term, it applies to certain modern composers who write music that is practically impossible and which tries to push the envelope in terms of what is playable on any instrument. I'm not among that group of composers, but I do like the effect that's achieved when performers are really... basically attempting something that's very virtuosic. I think that much is understandable by anyone who can appreciate Paganini or Liszt, for example.
Sure. Well, let's hear a sample. This is the opening couple of portions of Carl Schimmel's Temper Mutations. Is this played by Due East?
Yes. This is from a CD. They're actually going to be playing on Tuesday night essentially the same pieces that are on a recent CD release.
Okay, so it'll be good publicity for their CD. Yeah. And will they be selling some at the concert, you suppose?
Yes, I believe so.
I'm sure they will.
There will be some available.
All right, Due East and Carl Schimmel's music here on Live and Local. We heard the opening portion of a piece by Carl Schimmel called Temper Mutations, which is the second piece on Tuesday night's concert at the Red Note New Music Festival. It starts at 8 o'clock at Kemp Recital Hall, as do all of the concerts tonight, tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. There are also a couple of master classes going on. Tuesday, a percussion master class with Greg Beyer of Due East. That's at 4 o'clock, rather, I'm sorry, from 2 to 4. And then Wednesday, a flute masterclass with Aaron Lesser of Due East, also from 2 to 4.
Could I also add, as part of his masterclass, Greg is going to give a lecture demonstration about a special Brazilian instrument that will be featured on the Tuesday night concert. It's called the berimbau, and he'll be beginning the demonstration at 3 p.m. So for those of your listeners who are more interested in learning a little bit about a Brazilian instrument as opposed to watching him coach undergrad percussionists, they could come at 3 and still catch that, and that's in Cook Hall 103.
Okay, great. Thank you. Is the Wednesday masterclass also in Cook Hall, or is that in Kemp Recital Hall?
That's in Kemp.
Okay. Well, one of the other pieces that's on the Tuesday night's program, Simultaneous Worlds 1, is a piece that actually has that name, except without the 1. Alejandro Ruti, is that how he says his name?
Right.
And where's he from?
Well, he's from Brazil, but he's currently teaching in North Carolina at UNC Greensboro.
And there are three movements to the piece. We're going to hear some of the last movement. Do you know how this is pronounced?
I'm embarrassed to say I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, if he's Brazilian, Ouvido na Rua would be my guess. I don't have any idea what it means. But let's give a listen. I assume this is also due east from their recent CD.
Yes.
Heard on Live and Local. Was called, I think, Ouvido na Rua, or something like that, from Simultaneous Worlds by Brazilian-born composer Alejandro Ruti, played by the flute and percussion duo Due East. It will be played tomorrow night, Tuesday night at 8 o'clock at Kemp Recital Hall, and Concert 2 from the Red Note New Music Festival, Illinois State University. My guest is Carl Schimmel, who's the chief organizer of this year's festival. And we've referred a few times now to the fourth concert. We're skipping over the third concert, which focuses on visual music and film, because that's pretty hard to represent on the radio. But David Furtzeig, who did teach at ISU, and I'm sorry, Carl, where did you say he's teaching now?
Vermont, University of Vermont.
Right, and this really looks like a fun program, mixing up some older and with newer music, including some of his own compositions. You'll hear some stride piano, James P. Johnson's jungle drums. You'll hear selections from children's songs by the jazz pianist Chick Corea, and some other things as well. What sort of things was Furtzeig doing when he was at ISU?
Do you mean in terms of teaching?
Yeah, and playing.
Similar to this, I think he's always had an interest in ragtime piano in particular. This is the kind of lecture concert that he's given numerous times all over the world in the past. And when I say lecture concert, I do mean that he will probably be, he'll be speaking in between pieces and giving a little background for each piece and talking about the intersection of styles. And while he was here, he was on the composition and theory faculty, so he was teaching probably all of the courses that I'm teaching now in terms of the basic theory music theory that's provided for School of Music students, and as well as composition courses for the comp majors.
Well, I note that he comes by his ragtime piano chops quite legitimately. He's got a silver medal from the 2001 World Championship Old-Time Piano Playing Contest, and in 2003 won an award for the Best New Rag Composition from the Old-Time Music Preservation Association, nicknamed OMPA. I like that. And we might as well go out with a composition by David Furtzeig. which is also the piece that'll be last on his concert Thursday night. It's called Stride Right, and is this the one that incorporates a bit of Beethoven or that incorporates a bit of Stravinsky?
Stravinsky. There may be some Beethoven in there, too. The opening is clearly a reference to Rite of Spring.
Yes, that's the one, hence Stride Right, R-I-T-E. Well, Carl, it sounds like a really fun and fascinating week for anybody who wants to spend as much time as they can on these evenings at the New Music Festival. Thanks for talking with us and letting us know about what's going on.
Well, thank you. Hope we have some members of your listening audience in attendance.
Maybe I should ask quickly, is there a charge for these concerts?
Thanks for asking. It's all free.
Oh, well, then people can just show up. They don't need to get tickets.
That's right, and parking is free as well. It's across the street from the hall.
Each concert tonight, tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday is at 8 o'clock in Kemp Recital Hall on the Illinois State University campus in Normal. Here's Stride Right by David Furtzeig on Live and Local. Today's broadcast on FM 90.9 is made possible with support from these business partners: Swires Land and Management Company of Danville, EAG Company Incorporated Fairmount, Colonial Pantry Champagne, and United Council Staff Union of Illinois in Springfield. These business partners join the Friends of WYLL in making great programs possible. And we thank you. We have support also from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the series collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 2 to 6 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is at thecorkscrew.com. This is Illinois Public Media, WYLL-FM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois.